New heading, forgiving. Gandhi once said, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it stands than to anything on which it is poured. True forgiveness involves forgetting, letting it go, and moving on. While I was away on a business trip once, I received a call from one of my managers who wanted to resign because of how he was being criticized by his immediate supervisor. I asked him to hold off from making such a rash decision until we could get together. He said, "I'm not calling to counsel with you, I'm calling to inform you. I'm resigning." I realized then that I had not listened to him, which I then proceeded to do. He then opened up a Pandora's box of experiences, complaints, and feelings, including even stronger ones from his wife. As I genuinely listened, the negative energy in his expression was dissipated, and on his own, he agreed to visit with me as soon as I returned. When I returned, he brought his wife to my office, and they were pleasant on the surface. But as soon as we began to discuss the real issues, the deep anger and resentment gushed forth. I continued to listen until they felt understood, and then they became very open. I then taught them about the space between stimulus and response, and how the greatest harm is not what people do to us, but in our response to what they do to us. They initially thought I was manipulating to get him to stay on, so I continued listening until other issues were expressed and understood, including how those issues at work had affected their own marriage and family life. It was truly like peeling off the layers of an onion until you reach the soft inner core. By this time, they were extremely open and teachable, so I emphasized again their power of choice, in that they might consider asking his superior's forgiveness for the resentment and anger the manager held for his superior. His response was, "What do you mean? You've turned this whole thing about. It's not for us to seek forgiveness. It's for him to seek our forgiveness." More negative energy was released until they were extremely open to the whole idea that no one can do us any harm without our consent, and that our chosen response is the key determiner of our life, that we truly are a product of our decisions, not our conditions. They were very humbled and agreed to think about it. He later called me on the phone and said that he had come to see the wisdom of the principle we'd discussed, and he accepted it, and that he had gone to his boss and asked for forgiveness, that his boss was literally overwhelmed by this expression, and that he in turn had asked his forgiveness, and that it had restored their relationship. My friend said to me that he and his wife had reached such a point of accepting the space between stimulus and response and the power of choice that even if they had been rebuffed in their sincere seeking of forgiveness, he was determined to stay on and make a success of things as best he could. Dag Hammarskjöld once taught, "Forgiveness breaks the chain of causality, because he who forgives you out of love takes upon himself the consequences of what you have done. Forgiveness, therefore, always entails a sacrifice." Close quote. It isn't the poisonous snake bite that does the serious harm. It's chasing that snake that drives the venom to the heart. Because we all make mistakes, we all need to forgive and be forgiven. It is better to focus on our own mistakes and ask forgiveness than to focus on other people's mistakes, wait for them to ask for forgiveness first, or give it begrudgingly if they do. It is better to have the spirit of the one who prayed, "O Lord, please help me to forgive those who sin differently than I." In the same spirit, C.S. Lewis wrote, "When I come to my evening prayers and try to reckon up the sins of the day, 9 times out of 10 the most obvious one is some sin against charity. I have sulked or snapped or sneered or snubbed or stormed. And the excuse that immediately springs to mind is that the provocation was so sudden or unexpected, I was caught off my guard. I had not time to collect myself. Surely what a man does when he is taken off guard is the best evidence for what sort of man he is. Surely what pops out before the man has time to put on a disguise is the truth. If there are rats in the cellar, you are most likely to see them if you go in very suddenly. But the suddenness does not create the rats. It only prevents them from hiding. In the same way, the suddenness of the provocation does not make me an ill-tempered man. It only shows me what an ill-tempered man I am. Now that cellar is out of reach of my conscious will. I cannot, by direct moral effort, give myself new motives. After the first few steps, we realize that everything which really needs to be done in our souls can be done only by God. Close quote.